Welcome to the Work Smart Club podcast, hosted by Dr. Cynthia Howard, executive coach and Lean Sigma Black Belt, and brought to you by Work Smart Consulting. Inside of you is the power to transform your world. You just have to unleash your potential. Get ready for strategies you can use right now. Leadership leverage you need.
We are living in the age of distraction, with the average attention span clocking in at 8 seconds. This is killing our happiness, our joy, along with our ability to get anything meaningful done. Give me your attention in this podcast, and I will give you the steps to get your focus back. Working in healthcare, I've seen firsthand the dangers of distraction. One example that stands out was in an outpatient clinic. The patient was admitted for monitoring because he was put on one of the blood thinner medications, and this required monthly monitoring. But there were a lot of new patients that came in that day, there were new staff, and orders were missed for the labs to check the levels of this drug. So the doctor didn't realize they didn't order it, the nurse checking them missed it, the pharmacist that prescribed the medication missed it. Every touch point along the path for that patient missed it. 3 months went by without any monitoring. And by the grace of God, that patient did not experience an adverse effect from the medication. But once the physician and the staff realized what had happened, they knew they needed to do something different in terms of the workflow. Because even though they had protocols put in place, there was way too much distraction on an everyday level. And you've had this happen on a personal level. I know I have. Not too long ago, I went in for lunch to a small restaurant. I ordered tuna salad and I received a chicken salad sandwich. And I went up to the counter and I asked the person about that. And he said, "Oh, I thought you had chicken salad." Now, meanwhile, I was the only person in that restaurant. But I noticed that he couldn't tear himself away from scrolling on his cell phone. He wasn't able to tune into what I was saying. And that scenario reminded me of some research I had read recently about what happens to our brain when we constantly scroll. Our working memory fills up. Nothing goes into the long-term memory, which is how we learn. And as the information continues to build up, there's a digital dementia that occurs. And it's happening in younger and younger people. So forgetfulness and poor memory are symptoms of this digital age. So why do I bring this up? Because I believe we're at a critical point where distraction is threatening not just the productivity at the workplace, but it's also threatening our everyday happiness and joy and the feeling of basic satisfaction. So stick with me because I'll be sharing what you can do to regain your focus. But having this background is going to help it to make sense. So hang with me on this. I know you've had that experience where you've worked hard all day, you come home, but you can't really remember what you got done. Probably because there wasn't anything meaningful that was done. You were either running in circles or working on somebody else's emergency. And what was important to you either got left on the wayside, or you never got to it. Distraction is more than just an annoyance or an interruption. It's changing how we think about ourselves and how we think about the world around us. So while we all love technology, what we may have missed since its introduction is the slow erosion of our ability to think deeply, to imagine, and to build scenarios in our mind. Today, we know more about the brain than ever before, and we know now that the brain does continue to grow and develop well into adulthood. In fact, the brain continues making changes throughout our entire life, and that's the theory of neuroplasticity. In fact, you may have heard the phrase, "brain cells that wire together, fire together." And it's because of this plasticity that the repetitive actions that we take tend to become our default mode. So the more we engage in distracted activities, responding to alarms, notifications on our phone, scrolling through social media and not focusing and concentrating on anything, the more we actually want to do that, we become addicted to it and lose the ability to read. How many times have you gone through maybe one or two paragraphs, 100 words or so, and you've forgotten what you've read and you have to start over? Or maybe you just don't continue and you give it up altogether. Is it difficult to listen attentively to what people are saying or to make eye contact and have meaningful conversations? There's a large group of our population that actually was raised on digital messages, text messaging, emojis. And so reading facial expressions and making eye contact is something that they have trouble with. And that's where a lot of the social anxiety comes from in the millennial and the earlier generations. How many times have you gone out to a restaurant and you see whole families sitting at tables, all with their heads bowed, with their own phones, not interacting with each other at all? Our brain happens to love novelty. But her brain also loves routine. So if you check your phone every 5 minutes, it will begin to crave that action. And that's part of that neuroplasticity. And that works in the reverse. Once you go through that digital detox and set up technology-free zones, your brain will also crave that peace. So distraction causes irritability, a false sense of urgency, impatience, mental fatigue. That's what the researchers have found, that a 15-second distraction costs you 20 minutes in focused concentration. And the increase in irritability, the increase in fatigue is similar to what people feel when they have a physically exhaustive day. So there's compassion fatigue, decision fatigue. There's this mental fatigue that happens that makes you less productive and less able to show up at your very best. You might start to disconnect from people in your environment. So you have less empathy. You know, you're obviously impatient when you're talking with someone. You may even be referring to your phone while you're having a face-to-face conversation. And if there's any way to destroy trust, it would be that scenario. I know I worked with one leader. She was talking on the phone while she's walking down the hall, shouting things to her people, and she wanted to know why they weren't engaged. So you can't have a relationship with your phone and have a relationship with people at the same time. And in reality, people are more intimate with their phones. They address their phones more respectively and frequently than they do the people around them. So it's time to really change that. Your attention is your ability to focus. And when you do that, you're going to achieve more, you're going to have greater levels of satisfaction, and you're going to be actively engaged, both with people and with what's happening around you. It's estimated that people lose as much as 10 hours every week from distraction. And even though the research is very clear about the consequences of multitasking, most of us are still trying to figure out how we can do multiple things at once. Now, there are some things that we can do together or at the same time, but it really does drain your energy ultimately. So here's a newsflash. Chronic distraction can lower your IQ by as much as 10 points. And anyone who has spent their day putting out fires, responding to a constant stream of demands without having any strategy to handle those interruptions will feel flat and numb by the end of the day, not capable of handling the high-level decisions that they feel like they should have. So there's no wonder that many leaders go through this erosion of confidence, this confidence crisis, because of the environment in which people are working and living. And this is why I want to talk about distraction and help you understand just how important it is to be ruthless with your attention and your focus. So in looking at this research, the impact of distractions at work, more than 50% of the people that were studied said that they weren't performing as well as they should, and they were significantly less productive. Well, that's very interesting because the number one motivator at work is our ability to make progress. Think about your own day. When do you have an ideal day? It's not when things are quiet and everything's calm. No, it's when you feel like you can get the most done. And sometimes that's at the busiest moment. So it's not how busy you are, it's how productive you can be. But if you're distracted and you haven't managed your attention, then you're not going to feel good about your day because you're not going to be getting things done. You're actually going to be redoing what you started and never getting anywhere. So the solution to all of this is learn to focus your attention. So we're going to talk about how to manage your attention, and I will give you this promise. When you learn to manage your attention, you will have all the time that you need. And what you'll see is those people who are able to get more done in those 24 hours than you do in your 24 hours, it's because they've managed their attention. They set boundaries. They're not letting things distract them, things or people or situations. So the first thing that you want to do is to find out how distracted are you. Get your baseline. And I have something called an interruption log. And if you go into the Work Smart Club network, you'll be able to download one. Or what you can just do is keep this in your day timer, or if you have an app, what you want to do is keep it for 2 weeks. Basically, have a column where you have the date and time. You have what interrupted you, whether it was a person, whether it was yourself, meaning the desire to look at your social media, was it an alarm, was it a phone call, whatever the interruption was, how long you spent on that interruption, and whether or not you got back to what it was you were doing, did you forget it completely, how long did it take before you got back there. Now, I know it might seem tedious to do, but it's an extremely interesting experiment. So if you do this, you're going to find, what are those interruptions that are keeping me from having my ideal day, from focusing and getting things done so that I feel really good about what I'm doing? Maybe there are certain times of the day when it's harder to focus or it's harder to get things done. Are you hungry, thirsty, hangry? Is it after meetings that you lose your focus? Is it around certain people that you lose your focus? At what point do you interrupt yourself by going to social media? When do you start scrolling? Are you bored? Do you want to be entertained? So unfortunately, what people have found is that they interrupt themselves the most. And that goes back to that habit that gets developed because of how our brain falls into this repetitive default mode. If that becomes your habit, then that becomes your habit. Well, you can vary quickly create a new habit once you become aware that this is not healthy for you, because not only are you losing time and productivity, but you're literally working with your hands tied behind the back, because you might not be losing IQ, but you're definitely losing momentum and you're stalling your progress. So the first step is to keep this interruption log and to find out where these interruptions are coming from. So as you notice these patterns, you can make changes in your day. For example, if you are the leader, can you make some workflow redesign? Do you need personally to eat earlier in the day? What difference would it make if you drank more water instead of coffee and you wouldn't have the coffee crash at the end of the day or in mid-morning? Do you need to get up and stretch? Very often, we lose our focus and attention because we have either sat too long or we are trying to concentrate on something, but we're getting interrupted all the time and it becomes easier just to get up and walk around. And what people end up doing is they give up on the original task. So there is a very well-known tip that says you practice 20 minutes of focused attention at least once a day, where you read something, and it can be anything, but you don't have any interruption. Ideally, it's not on a device. It's like a magazine or a book where you're not having to scroll, and you just practice that 20 minutes of uninterrupted focus. But I also want to share with you that, I don't know if you know this, we're all familiar with our monthly cycles, both men and women have them. But did you know that we also have a 90-minute cycle? It's called an ultradian rhythm. Every 90 minutes, our attention waxes and wanes. And what could be happening is that your attention is at a low point and you're distracting yourself. Because of the busyness of our day, we're so compulsive, we're not tuned into what's happening in our body, so we ignore it. But if you, every 90 minutes, get up and stretch, and I'm talking taking a 15-second break, so a very quick break where you take a sip of water, you do about 5 to 6 deep breaths, you stretch, maybe you dance or you run in place just for 15 seconds, and then you get back to what you're doing. Step 2 is to actually go through a digital detox. Now, I know that might seem a little shocking at first. Some people are able to go cold turkey and just put their phones away. Some studies have said that it takes about 5 days for you to lose that digital dementia. Now, 5 days may seem too long. Maybe you have a vacation coming up and you decide, you know what, now is the time, I'm going to just do this. So you want to make arrangements so that people who expect you to respond to their texts will know that you are off the grid for 5 days. And if you don't want to do that drastic measure, set up technology-free zones. I know a lot of families have decided that, you know what, we're not having any technology at our meals, whether we're out or whether we're at home. The phones get put away and the alarms get turned off so we can talk to each other. Other times at work, you have to leave your phone outside the meeting room, or there's in the break rooms, it's technology free so people will interact with each other. As the leader, don't be afraid or intimidated to tell people that they need to turn off their phones and put them away, because even phones that are turned over on the desk can still be distracting, so they need to be completely out of sight. So one of the big benefits of controlling the distractions in your environment is your ability to control your own impulses. So you decrease the reactivity to what people are saying and doing around you. And this was proven in an animal study where they taught animals to reduce their aggression as they learned to control their attention. So controlling your attention by going through this digital detox, having these technology-free zones, setting up times when you answer your phone, you answer your text, you answer your email. Like, for example, maybe it's going to be at 10, at 3 p.m., at 6 p.m., but set up times. And this can be for work, for example, and even for family, because when you're at work, you don't need your family calling you all the time. Just like when you're at home, you don't want work people to be calling you. Set up boundaries. Unless you're in a life or death kind of situation where people, as a physician, where people are relying on you and your orders, you might want to rethink having people call you at home, just like people at your home calling you at work. I always say when you're at home, be 100% at home. And when you're at work, be 100% at work. So set up these times so people know that that is when you're going to return phone calls. You will be amazed at how much more relaxed your mind feels without the clutter. You're going to be much more creative. Your ability to generate ideas and to formulate those ideas is going to increase when you cut down on this constant distraction. So people who focus well report feeling less fear, less frustration. They have less sadness from day to day, and in part because they've learned to redirect their attention from what's going wrong to what's going right. So before I get to the strategy number 3, which is the attention reboot, let me break attention down. There are 3 parts, and the reboot is going to help you at all 3 levels. So the first level of our attention is our focus. And that is essentially a deliberate orientation. It's an intentional effort where you place your attention. And that is what gets disrupted when there are constant distractions and or if you spend too much time on a device scrolling. Next, we have our awareness, and that's our sensitivity to our environment. And it's amazing that things in the environment that are stationary and unchanging, they ultimately become unseen. So you lose a lot of information from your environment when your awareness is disrupted. If you're only partially aware, you're not seeing the nuances of people's expressions. You're not noticing what's going on in the environment. This is the whole concept of distracted driving, where you're half there, half not there. Well, the same thing is true if you're at home or you're at work. People around you can see that you're distracted, and the attention reboot is going to help that. And the third level is your executive control, and that's your ability to plan. It's a top-down ability that draws on all those sensory cues that come from your focus and your awareness so that you can put together everything that's happening in your environment all around you, and you can put it into a perspective. And when you have full access to this, you can have a very broad perspective, a very deep perspective, so that you're not jumping to solutions or falling prey to bias as a result of a partial perspective that comes from being distracted and only hearing part of the message, or jumping to a conclusion, or relying on assumptions rather than figuring it out. So when you consider these three component parts of your attention, can you see how attention may just be your most important asset? So these three networks that enable you to focus, to plan, and to make sense of what's going on around you, this is what's going to make you more impactful as a leader, because your ability to pay attention is a process of taking things in, sorting and shaping, planning, and ultimately making decisions about what's going on in your world. So I want to share this 1 minute strategy with you that I call the attention reboot. You can practice at any time. I highly recommend that you practice it 5 to 7 times a day. And if you do that consistently for a week, it becomes second nature, and you will have a refreshed, a renewed, and a very robust attention. So here it is. It's 60 seconds. Now it's going to take you longer initially as you practice it, but that's what you're shooting for. So step one is the reboot. You're going to notice that you're distracted. Maybe you're doing something again and you realize, wow, I'm distracted. So at that moment that you notice that you're distracted, just tune into the environment and figure out what you're experiencing. Are you frustrated? Is there tension? Is it noisy? So just take 10 seconds and notice what it is that lets you know you're distracted, and what are you feeling in your body. Then step two is refresh. What you're going to do is take a deep breath, and you're going to reset and refresh your attention and tune into your environment as if it were the first time you were there. I know this one man, it was so dramatic for him when he was driving home from work. He was practicing this, and as he was driving into his community and seeing his community street for as if it were the first time, he saw this majestic tree that he had been overlooking for years. And it was so beautiful, it just took his breath away. And he focused on that tree for a little while, which actually just de-stressed him, decompressed his mind, took away the pressure, his shoulders dropped, so that when he walked in the door, he was literally refreshed and rejuvenated. And now that tree is symbolic of that rejuvenation for him. So tune into your environment, because earlier I talked about how your awareness is your sensitivity to the environment, and very often things that are there and stationary tend to be unseen after a point. Well, what you want to do is see them again. You're refreshing your attention. Because very often when you see them again, you'll have a different perspective. You'll have a shift in your perspective. So take about 30 seconds to refresh your attention. Just take a deep breath, and as you exhale, just tell yourself, I'm here for the very first time. What am I noticing? And just take note. Maybe the colors are brighter. Maybe you didn't notice that flower that was there. Maybe you didn't notice a certain smell. Maybe you didn't notice someone's laugh, or you didn't notice someone who was very quiet that normally blends into the wall. So you can do this. I highly recommend people do this in meetings, with family, on their own. Anytime that they feel like they are distracted, you can refresh, you can reboot and refresh your attention. The third step is relish. So we have reboot, refresh, and relish. So now that your mind is clear, I want you to bring up feelings of gratitude or begin to appreciate something. Now, gratitude, appreciation, and love are these amazing emotions that literally flip the switch in your brain, turning back on those higher functions. Because when we're distracted and the stress reaction is triggered, there's a switch that goes off and we lose the ability to process on a deeper level information that comes into us. It's how we're hardwired. Gratitude also changes your biochemistry so that thousands of neurochemicals, hormones are now flooding your system. And some of those have the impact of increasing your ability to focus and concentrate. Instead of wanting to isolate, you want to be near people. So it really is a wonderful, amazing transformation that happens in your body. And believe it or not, it can happen in just seconds. The downside of chronic distraction and chronic busyness and compulsive activity is that it takes longer for you to get in touch with this gratitude. So that's why I recommend keeping a gratitude journal just every day as a habit. Write down three things you're grateful for and do that every single day. That way, when you are practicing this reboot, you can open that journal and you can turn to a couple of things and you can bring those up. So you want to spend about 20 seconds on appreciation. Don't let those distracting thoughts come through, like what's for dinner, what am I going to do tomorrow? Just ignore those. Let it flow right back out of your mind and get back to that appreciation. And it can take practice. So I would keep doing it because it gets easier each time. So take that appreciation and first direct it toward you. Appreciate yourself for your hard work, for the effort at this attention reboot. Maybe there's someone that you're at odds with. Send love and appreciation to them. It will change how you interact with them. Send love and appreciation to your workplace, to your family. You can do this step all by itself and make it its own activity. Just spend a full minute feeling appreciation and gratitude and sending those feelings out. It not only changes you, it will change your interaction with those people. Gratitude and appreciation changes your physiology. It's an extremely powerful practice, even though it seems pretty simple. So in closing, I challenge you to this digital detox. Keep an interruption log and find out what your baseline is. How distracted are you? What are the patterns and trends to your distraction? Because you want to take charge over your devices, over your environment, over your mind. Schedule your phone calls, your text, your emails at certain times of the day so that you control your time and your activity. And I promise you, you're going to feel more than relieved. You're going to have more energy and your mind is going to feel more creative. So as your mind declutters, you're going to have the extra bandwidth to handle problems, to solve problems, to think creatively, to process what's going on around you, think deeply about it instead of reacting and jumping to solutions or falling on assumptions and then being wrong. Your attention when you are deliberate and intentional about it, will help you think more strategically so you can execute boldly. So take the challenge. Join me in the Work Smart Club Network and let me know how it's going for you. So until next time, stay energized.
Thank you for tuning in to the Work Smart Club podcast. We love our listeners and want to hear from you. Please join us at WorkSmartClubNetwork.com. Stay connected and subscribe to our show so you never miss any of the content. Leaving us a positive review lets everyone know we add value. We thank you for it.